Ladies and gentlemen, the patron members of the NBL Pocket Podcast. This man has dinner plates for hands, and you know what they say about men with big hands, big gloves. It's Dylan Smith. This next patron is one M&M you'd gladly swallow whole. It's Matthew Morris. He doesn't need an Argo to capture the golden fleece. He just uses his chest hair. Jason. Grab a shaker of salt and a wedge of lemon. It's Tranquilla Mockingbird Locklinger. Bono, Prince, and Madonna can all eat a big bag of shit. This is Elliot. I like my coffee the same way I like this next patron. White and sweet. It's Nick White. Don't get stung by our next patron. It's Michael B. This man does his best work after dark. It's David Knight. He's the cool cat who gets all the It's May Sun. His name sounds like the main character from a 1990s buddy cop comedy. It's Jono Sully. Whether you're taking a bow or feeding a cow, matter of fact, I got it now. And a hard-earned thirst needs a big cold beer. And the best cold beer is Ben V.L. He's the GM of the Perth Bandits who's stolen all of our hearts. It's Nick Lastly, Kevin Costner had them in Waterworld. It's Ryan McGill.
Three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From the beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
To the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff wraps it up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. We're recording this Thursday, 23rd of September, around about just before 10 o'clock at night on the East Coast. My name is Joseph Gore from Stats Perform Media. I'm joined by Andrew Canyon on the West Coast. Say hello, Andrew.
Here I am. Hello, Andrew. I'd be interested to know how people are hearing me right now. This is the topic of conversation right on the outset. I've changed my microphone. Joe says it sounds like I'm in a toilet or something. So do I just really sound that bad? Please let us know. Do I need to invest in different audio equipment?
Well, Andrew's got a habit of hanging around men's public lavatories. I just say he doesn't have to record in one is the joke. All right, no. Here's what we're going to talk about on today's show. A little bit of Lindsay Gaze's book. This new Twitter account, NBL History, Nathan Sobey and Vic Law, Luke Travers and the ESPN snub, the start date to the season, CJ Bruton, these Chinese players, bit of COVID stuff. We all know what's coming ahead. Let's start with this, though, Andrew Canyon. First of all, big thank you to a new patron, Nicholas. I'll keep the surname private, but thank you to Nicholas. And I hope everyone enjoyed the new intro before. When we get to 25 patrons, we'll do another intro like that and do one for the entire Patreon list. Let's start with this. NBL History on Twitter. Andrew Canyon, are you a follower of this?
I sure am. Yeah, I'm loving it. Loving them, what they're bringing so far. It's straight out. The sad thing is NBL History is kind of like delving into my memory banks. Like the stuff they're pulling out, I'm old enough and sad enough to remember some of it, which is a bit depressing. But for the younger people in the crowd, probably all new to them, it's great. Love it.
And it looks like it's run by the NBL itself. It looks professional enough. The logo's good. Yeah. And the archival stuff. They got the stuff. It's all super fan. The funny thing is,
did you see the one? Sorry.
You go.
They showed one of their first tweets was all the different logos from the NBL over the seasons.
Oh, and no Wildcats.
I didn't notice that. I was looking at the league.
It was only the East Coast teams.
No, not the teams. This is the league. The different versions of NBL that they had run out over the years.
Yeah, I did see it, but now I'm getting mixed up. What about it?
The Hungry Jacks era, and then they had the Phillips Championship kind of era, Mitsubishi Challenge.
Yeah.
I've got to say, sneaky good was the Mitsubishi Challenge sort of switch to the summer season kind of stuff, where you had the basketball and kind of the corona of flame, like a sun coming out the side of it. Really good. I think that held up. Good. It was like that. That's you could roll that out today and it still look all right.
And on the telecast, John Casey was wearing that like quite thin denim. He's wearing denim blue shirts with the logo on it. I remember that.
I'm sure it was chambray, not denim.
Pardon me. And then the other one I saw was the jerseys, like which one's your favorite? And I don't think the Wildcats nor Adelaide 36ers were on there, which I thought that was kind of telling, but it is what it is. There must be a deal where those jerseys are not owned by the league. I don't know, but it just seemed peculiar that they went on there. But I will say this, the accounts only got 670 followers. So first things first, people, if you're listening to this, do go and subscribe or follow that on Twitter, most definitely for your own benefit and just to get that number up. But I saw 670. I was like, oh man, I mean, the NBL's got what? 60,000 followers. I was like, is there an exaggeration to the 90s nostalgia around the NBL? Like people think it was super popular, super profitable teams. And it's just like, under 1,000 followers. I know it's only very young, so I'm probably not being fair, but
I reckon it's getting along. That's a long time ago now. It's aged out. I would say most people who follow the NBL on Twitter weren't born. That's
30 years ago.
I don't care. Or they're like me and they're like old and past it. Probably not on Twitter. Why am I still on Twitter? I should get off. Too old.
Yeah, good point. It is. It's a young man's platform. It's a bit much. Let's jump on. Speaking of Twitter and social media, Nathan Sobey, you may have seen, and Vic Law for that matter, you may have seen probably about 2-3 weeks ago maybe, Vic Law obviously signed with the Wildcats, and then all those Brisbane Bullets players kind of came out and said, I don't know what they did, but put emojis about silly faces or whatever. Yeah. And I thought it looked tongue-in-cheek. I didn't make much of it. But then Sobey, and this was clipped up for the NBL website, I think, in an article, Nathan Sobey had said on Vic Law's podcast, and this is the quote, this is what kind of threw me off. And the title to this subject, I should have said, is NBL Ego or Sportsman's Ego. But Sobey said this. Quote, the media is the media. They're always going to take it out of context and whatnot. And part of me was kind of, I mean, no offense to Sobey, but the media, whoever that is, didn't give a stuff. Like I didn't read this in a paper. I didn't read it online. I didn't read anything. The only place it turned up is NBL News, who we love, hardest working person in and around the NBL. He clipped up this stuff, put it up. That's not the media, though. That's not a Sydney Morning Herald. That's not The Age. They don't give a stuff. And this is why I say this, because I saw this and I thought, oh, that's kind of fun. Like these players are kind of slagging them off for changing teams. I turned to a producer, a colleague of mine. I said, is this a news line here? Could I charge for this? Right. And the response, this is superior, was a no. It was just laughter. So I was like, and there's Nathan Sobey, the media, they're always after us. Like, I'm sorry, man. It's quite the opposite. And I don't mean to be rude to Nathan Sobey, but it's just this thing parroted from the US where, the media, screw you. It's like, that's not what's going on at all. What was your reaction when you saw it?
No, the whole thing seemed silly to me. It seemed like it was either fabricated to try and get some attention, or they were just lads having a laugh. And that's the way I kind of interpreted it, just like, you stir up your ex-teammate. And the fact that it was portrayed as a beef between these guys, I was like, I'm not buying that.
No.
So and this whole thing about the media is out to get us, I think that's definitely wishful thinking. You should be so lucky.
Here's my point. Exactly. That's exactly what I said. And The Brisbane Bullets, guess how many Twitter followers they have, Andrew?
Oh, probably a good 450.
Just under 8,000.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. To put to put that into perspective, though, Magda Zabanski, the actress, has 156,000.
She needs to start retweeting some of the Brisbane Bullets stuff.
So I was like, the media. I was like, go away. Okay, moving on. Travers.
Hang on, speaking of Vic Law, I just got to, because this is off season, silly season. I got to do a Vic Law style promo. Did you see his promo for the Perth Wildcats?
No, what was it?
Okay, so he did one to Twitter. I kind of think he may have had a script just behind his, you know, off to one side. Okay. So I want to give the same kind of Vic Law NBL podcast promo. Okay, here we go. Hi, I'm Andrew Canyon. I would like to say thanks, patrons of the NBL Pocket Podcast, for tuning in and giving me your heart earned. Can't wait to see you. Check out our website, NBLPocketPodcast.com. Thanks.
They are treating me well. Tell my family I love them. That's funny. I'll have to check that out. Everyone out there, dude, go and check that out. Tag me in it or something. Moving sidewards from Vic Law, but staying with the Wildcats. Luke Travers.
Yeah.
Not in the top 100 draft prospects going into next year. We saw him play. I mean, we don't know the other draft prospects so well, but top 100? I mean, Mojave King's in the top 20 or 30. I didn't write it down, but Hugo Besson, the Frenchman, who's just signed with New Zealand Breakers, 35th on this list. Now, Travers. Travers is a legit 6'5", 6'8", switchy. The range is kind of building a little bit, but the athleticism and the body's there. I was shocked by this. And the bigger question is, Luke Travers is with the same agency as Josh Giddey. That's what was Lighthouse Sports, now Octagon. Daniel Moldovan and Olgan Ulich.
Yep.
What, like, Giddey went sixth in the draft, and we saw a lot from Giddey, and he was quite good. But Travers is right there, and I just think, like, they got to step up their game, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you got to bring the promotional heat, don't you? And Giddey got heaps of that. I think there's probably more players with that kind of package, that skill set in the world globally. So he's probably competing a little bit. Like, whereas Giddey's a bit of an outlier because 6'9 point guard, just a bit more unique. But, you know, put them side by side and, you know, at the moment, you'd say, well, which one do you want on your team? They're both very good. They're kind of equivalent.
Sorry to interrupt you there, but my thought is this. Travers occupies the 2, 3, 4 maybe.
Yeah.
That's three spots on every team. That's three positions, whereas Giddey really only one, maybe kind of two. You can't really play him off the ball, so it's more just a pure one.
Yeah.
A lot more spots for Travers. Lot stretchy wings who are athletic. Like the NBA and most leagues are just dying for that. And there's 30 teams, each with about 6 to 9 roster spots for that one. That's, you know, do the numbers. That's a lot of spots for him. So I was shocked by that. I mean, Giddey got a lot of good press. And it really begs the question, the Wildcats are just not a talent incubator. They're a championship-winning enterprise. That's what comes first, foremost, first, last, and in between.
Yes.
And Travers, I just feel like signing with the Wildcats, in a strange way, was a mistake. If you're looking to get drafted, developing his talent.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. All right. What do you think?
Well, he demonstrated his talent last season, so the Wildcats gave him every opportunity to show out, and I think he did it.
Yeah. I just don't think that the Wildcats are its own orbit. They're away from the NBL, right? They are away from the NBL. They don't. My understanding is they don't even particularly get along so well, or at least didn't last year. Maybe this year will be different now that they're a little bit more aligned to Melbourne, but they're on its own orbit, you know, and that has to change. Because Giddey was everybody was in on that. NBL socials couldn't stop themselves. So there has to be that collusion this season if they're going to get somewhere. So, but, you know, that's Gleason as well. Gleason, I mean, to his credit, started a DP. Like, if you went to an NBA scout and said, oh, is this Travers any good? He's starting. He's not getting huge minutes. you'd say to start or get major minutes as a DP with Gleeson, this kid must be amazing. Not what Gleeson does at all.
But then Gleeson put him in the doghouse for a while as well. He did. Yeah, he said, you've gone ahead of yourself, head back to the bench and have a think about things. And I think it worked out for the best, but he didn't do, whereas Adelaide would never have treated Giddy that way. Giddy was getting never his 25 in a million minutes years.
He was getting his 30 minutes minimum. His touches and the ball was in his hands. Win, lose, draw. Yeah. Winning became a distant second last year, preferring to switch to Giddy, I think, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, jumping on.
Maybe they can do some sort of trade package for Ben Simmons. I know.
Maybe.
Struggling to get out of Philadelphia.
Dear me. Oh, reportedly. That's, by the way, side departure, but NBA training camp starts in, I think, 5-6 days. That's going to be so interesting. If he doesn't show up and they start finding him, I think it's something ridiculous. They can find him about 200K for every single training he misses. They do 2 days.
Could get expensive.
Oh, jeez. That'd be fun. Moving on. Season delayed to the start of December, ballooning out from what was November 18. That would take the off-season, the NBL off-season from 21-22 to 160-170-day off-season. That is crazy long. And my question is to you, Andrew, too long?
Listen to these podcasts that we're doing. Yes, too long. Jeez, we're running out of material. This is hard yakking. Way too long. It must be hard as well because, I mean, they're starting to get imports into the country now. Like, they're going to pay for those dudes. They're going to pay for their houses, pay for their, accommodation, living allowances, expenses.
Per diem.
So it's going to get – if they're not earning revenue at the moment. So, yeah, it's going to be tough for the clubs. And who knows what sort of crowds we'll get at games anyway. So it's another season of uncertainty and doubt.
Andrew, do you remember when the Boomers won bronze? Does that still hold anything for you? I just think it's me. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember when we won. Oh yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I saw Patty Mills tweeting. There was a tweet of him in his Brooklyn outfit yesterday or something, and I thought, remember he played for Australia a while ago. I still like. It's sort of diminishing, isn't it? News troubles. Always. It's all AFL Grand Final now.
I was down on my local court hanging around. This always got me to the ground. And I was like, is anyone going to mention? I've been there a couple of times since the medal. I was like, I wonder if anyone's going to mention the bronze. Or I was dying for that conversation where someone's like, oh, yeah, I saw the Boomers win bronze, so I've come down here. And never heard it. Maybe that was wishful thinking, but I haven't heard it because I just don't think it really is of huge significance to people. And I think when you take yourself out of it, and I heard someone describe stand-up comedy this way. They said, someone was like, oh, stand-up comedy, do this, do this. And then someone said, whoa, relax. Like, first of all, you're talking about an entity that people probably engage with once, maybe twice a year. People go and see live stand-up comedy probably once a year.
Yeah.
And for basketball in this country, live basketball, not NBA stuff, maybe they engage with that more, but people go to an NBL game probably once, twice a year, if they're not a member, if they're not entrenched in the community.
Mm.
So that's the way basketball needs to start approaching itself. Like, we are a once or twice a year, chocolate bar you grab at the counter as you're just about to go through the register. How can we change that? And the bronze, you thought it was going to give this kick, or some people did, and I just don't think it's had that effect. Maybe Basketball Australia would argue opposite, but I'm not so sure.
It'll be interesting when they launch the season and what have they got? They have Dellavedova and Duop Reith, Sobey, whether they Golden. Sort of try and push at that point. Intriguing to see. But, yeah, it's going to be tough. There's no momentum, that's for sure.
And I don't blame Basketball Stress so much for that. It's more the times. It's more COVID. Momentum's impossible to establish when you don't even know that the season's going to start in December. One thing I want to say, though, is that's where it's interesting. Like, I saw so many people this week and in the past weeks crying out for Dante Exum to get signed. They're like, what? Someone signed this guy. This is an injustice. And I was like, "This Dante Exum, bless him, a decent player and play well at the Olympics, sure. He's made $50 million playing basketball over his career. And he's got people, who are probably on, I don't know how much money they're making, but not 45 million, crying out like, you got to help this guy. Oh, he's so hard done by. And I'm just like, what? This is crazy. Like, it's like people voting for Trump. It's like he's played. He's had a decent – if he ended it now, he's had a decent career and been paid terribly handsome. And everyone's like, yes, give this guy $15 million more. Great. And then it's like, yeah, he's been signed. Back to the coal pit. It's like, what are you thinking, man? So it's like, keep it local. And I've got an initiative. And I didn't tell you about this. So I'm excited to tell you here. I've got a proposal. This is talk about growing the sport. This is serious now. A proposal, and this is to everyone, and I'm sincere about this. I will personally sponsor through Patreon any weekly basketball podcast that starts up from today. Now, the rules are you can't charge more than I do a month for this to be a patron of this show.
Damn it, there goes my big idea.
Just get start a thousand. And you have to be at it for, I'm going to say, a month to 6 weeks. You have to put in, if you say we're going to weekly basketball show, you have to do a show. I need to see that you're consistent and serious.
Yeah.
Then once you do that, I will gladly become a patron of any and encourage everyone else to do so, advertise you on here, whatever, just to see the podcasting thing grow. I'm happy to do it at a very base level. It's not a lot of money. Jesus, like $5 a month. So. But I mean that any podcast, go ahead, start it. And do it, and I will be your first sponsor. I promise. So
all right.
I'm putting skin in the game to see it grow a little bit. You know, imagine if all the teams did that. Like, you start a podcast about the Adelaide 36ers, we'll give you X amount of money. Not a lot either. Brisbane, we just slacked off before. You start a podcast in Brisbane, bang, we'll be your first sponsors. Guarantee it. I think that'd go far. So I'm willing to do that out there. So take me up on it. But you got to be consistent. You got to be real.
Well, you've painted me into a corner because now I feel like, you know, I would have naturally, I would have said, I've got to run the numbers on this, Joe. Let me do some spreadsheeting and I'll get back to you. Now you're saying it, making me look like cheap ass. So I guess I'm going to do it too.
It's a mutual fund from Andrew and I that
we're in
shows. More the point. Yeah, but that's it. That's what I'd like to do. And because a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, I'll start a podcast. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck doing it weekly and keeping it up. Best of luck to you.
Yeah.
Here's a pretzel.
It's not easy building this kind of repartee.
Oh, yeah. You feel it, don't you? All right, let's jump on. CJ Brewton to the 36ers. I'm going to ask you a simple question. Is it an upgrade on Henry?
Yes. Anything's an upgrade on Connor Henry, to be fair. Does it move the needle on their position in the overall league? Like,
no.
I don't think so. I don't think he's any better than – like, he's not better than any of the other coaches going around.
Wouldn't think so.
It's sight unseen.
But he hasn't – you know, you can only go off what you know. Here's what I know. Phil Smythe was approached. Brett Maher was approached. John Riley was approached. He was the number one. Scott Ninnis was approached. I think they either turned it down or it didn't quite work out. So you wouldn't want CJ getting wind that he's fifth, sixth option or whatever he is. He's got a tough job, man. That what do we see with assistant coaches all the time? Too friendly. Come in, 12th guy's getting in the second quarter. You're like, what the heck is this? And he's a super nice guy by all accounts. CJ Brewton, very likable, very funny. But to be a head coach, you kind of got to be a bit prickly.
He's got to get that. I think he's got to get that point guard prickliness back, doesn't he? Like, he was a bit of a prick. From time to time when he ran the point for Breakers. And back in the Wollongong Hawks days, winding the clock right back, he was a real up himself kind of dude. I think he needs a bit of that. Get that back.
Yep, I agree. And because he's got a decent list that's going to be hovering around sixth.
Mm.
Like could be top four if they played out of their skin, but you know, looking more like lower middle table. But that's... You know, you get a few breaks with injury and who knows, maybe you're there. So he's got a decent list. It's, you know, it's Daniel Johnson, it's McCarron, it's Humphreys, it's a few other pieces.
The one thing I will say is if I was a player, I'd be much more pumped about playing for CJ than playing for Connor Henry. Like, I would be motivated this season just because, you know, he's like, what have you got against him? You're not going to look at CJ and just go, you're a bit of a loser. Whereas that could easily have been an interpretation of Connor Henry.
Yeah, I agree. And if you're a point guard as well, like if you're a McCarron, you'd be pretty happy about playing for CJ.
Yeah.
As opposed to Connor, who was what, a wing player back in the day, kind of wanted to see the ball off the deck a bit more. And CJ, he'll be a fun coach, I think. Hasn't got the longest apprenticeship, long assistant coach, but the jump to head coach can be a tough one. Matt Flynn in Illawarra a couple of years ago.
Ooh.
Probably the least successful of a lot of ages. Mr. Go Under Screens on Southeast Melbourne's John Robertson. Yeah, that was but really would have been interesting. My understanding is really kind of was sniffing around the Perth Wildcat gig, didn't get it or either withdrew his interest. Adelaide got excited, maybe too excited at the thought of, oh, he didn't get the Wildcat gig, he'll come to it. And then, oh dear. That didn't happen either. So, but all account, they've fallen on their feet because, as you and I both agree, it's an upgrade. They couldn't have downgraded.
No.
Let's jump on. Chinese players that have come over. Two seven-footers.
Yep.
I'm going to start with a question right off the top. Are Southeast Melbourne and the Brisbane Bullets just reliving the Colton Iverson experience? Are they just reliving that?
I think they might be. I'm always nervous about Chinese players because they have the cultural differences in the way the game's played, the way it's officiated, the way they're expected to behave and perform.
Their handling, yeah, right.
Yeah. I just think they struggle. They're going to struggle. What it is doing though is clearly it's putting the NBL in front of how many billion Chinese people. So to me, without seeing the players, I just think this is a marketing effort.
And a good one. You think it's still a good marketing ploy?
Well, I mean, why not? I mean, you still got a guy who's 7 foot plus on the court.
Yeah.
He's still going to present a challenge just, you know, for 5 minutes even. There's worse people you could have in that position. But I don't think that you can seriously expect production out of these guys.
The one I've got higher hopes on is Joe Chi, the one that Southeast Melbourne have signed. He was a 20-10 player, starter on the national team, I believe. He's one I'm like, okay, he's got decent hands, pretty slow though, like not the fastest player on the court.
Yeah.
That does not bode well in the NBL. And covering pick and roll, I'm like, how's this guy going to cover guys off pick and roll? Like he'll get pulled apart. But 7 footers in the NBL, I'm just kind of out on the whole, like even Plumlee.
Yeah.
Miles Plumlee, who was the most athletic, pretty decent moving, got pulled apart at times, and Gleeson didn't play him in the fourth. But it's going to be a fun experiment. We're going to find out what 20 points and 10 rebounds from Joe Chi in the CBA translates to the NBL. I'll ask you another question while you go.
No, that's all right. Carry on.
Will either of them be on the floor for their respective team in crunch time, yes or no?
No.
No way.
No way.
I agree. Can't cover pick and roll. Not going to be there.
Now, what I was going to say is I just finished reading. This is a bit of a segue, but it's also on the same topic. Just finally finished reading Lindsay Gaze biography. And he had a section towards the end of the book where he talks about his experiences in China. And now it's dated a little bit because that was a number of years ago now. But he talked about the Chinese cultural impact of and the need to sort of save face. So that in that Chinese way is you wouldn't want to embarrass somebody. You know, if you're having a blowout game, the referees would sort of even things up to avoid one team being embarrassed because it was culturally insensitive to do that. You shouldn't show people up. So you get mystery fouls and suddenly a team that was going to win by 30 would only win by 8 or something like that.
I understand.
And it was just this kind of understanding.
You sent me a text about that book in the week. I want to ask you this. You said how the childhood of Lindsay Gaze's and the Australia of his childhood was unrecognizable to you. Tell me what you meant by that.
Yeah, so you sort of realize how, I mean, he's a very old guy now. Sort of his childhood was 70-odd years ago now, I guess. But yeah, his the way he experienced Australia is so different to my experience.
Yeah, in what way?
As a kid, and then obviously what it's like as a kid now. Oh my goodness, it was just criminal. It was like he was just part of the Melbourne underworld, and it seemed like there was just, you realize how protected and sort of rule based we are now as a society. I mean, he was all about the dodgy bets on the greyhounds and somebody stealing some stuff and breaking in and catching people trying to steal things, and it was just this really and Biffo on the footy fields and all that kind of stuff. Just a really, really different youth, one, a smaller nation that had a lot more of that larrikinism, I guess you would say, than what I think we have now.
I remember reading that too, about how guys are getting knocked out in AFL and he's doing this. And I agree totally.
It's just amazing to see how much it really has changed the nation. This is not part of a political statement on my behalf or anything. I'm not going to make any connections to what's going on in Melbourne now, but it's just really interesting to see how Australia over this course of 70 or 80 years is entirely different.
Bottom line of this whole conversation, everyone out there, get a copy of this book, Lindsay Gaze, and do it via Booktopia in the link. Or go back and listen to my conversation with Lindsay as well. Do both. Why not? But buy the book. It's a good read. You'd like it.
It really is. And I knocked it out in like 2 days.
And it's a very chapter-based read. So you can read a chapter, put it down, and you won't kind of lose your place because it jumps through time. And it's a good read. I enjoyed reading it. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Speaking about the nation and how things are kind of changing or not changing, Greg O'Neill. Greg O'Neill, to everyone out there, is the president and CEO of La Trobe Financial, which is a major partner of the NBL. He said some interesting things on the internet. This is going back quite some time ago, maybe a month, maybe more. But Mr. O'Neill, head of La Trobe, called for an end to the lockdowns, arguing that the number of deaths and hospitalizations were proof that COVID is under control in Australia, and was saying we need to open up and save all this, whatever. And I talk about this because, you know, he's a major sponsor of the NBL and whatever, but we were talking about this off air, Andrew and I, like, he used numbers that were inclusive of the lockdown to prove that the lockdown doesn't work. And you can't do that. We were saying you need a control sample. You need to say, well, this is what Australia's done with lockdowns. This is what it would look like without lockdowns. So the idea of pointing to the number of COVID cases that are on in the world right in Australia right now and using that to call for the end of the lockdown, you're actually strengthening the case for the lockdown. You're showing that it's having effect on the low numbers. I just thought, for a major sponsor of someone who's in financial means, you know, numbers based, to not understand that, I was really perplexed and kind of thrown off by that. And I don't suppose, did you see it, Andrew? What do you think?
I didn't see it. It's a bit disappointing. I think, especially, La Trobe have been around the NBL for a long time. I also just read Chris Anstey's book as well. He mentions the good work that he's done for La Trobe. Yeah, and they've been around forever. So not discounting what they've done for the league, but these sort of comments are not very helpful. I think the other thing I would say is always back the horse of self-interest.
Of course.
And perhaps it's in his best interest to see lockdown, you know, minimised, let the investment monies flow so that he can make his percentages off it. You know, people generally like to look at things from their perspective.
Are you quoting The Wire again? Is that what you're doing?
I guess that probably is a Wire. Look, The Wire is full of wisdom. You do worse than just watching that and realizing that that's how the world works.
Speaking of about words of wisdom for people out there, do not Google the words La Trobe Financial Attack and the acronym, ASIC, A-S-I-C. Don't do it. Don't Google it. Don't do it. Don't do it. That's for people out there who want some homework. Jumping on. Sydney Kings. Outbreak. COVID. This is where the rest of the podcast is going. We can't escape it. We don't really want to talk about it, but we can't have to. An infected player has infected the cohort, shutting down preseason training. That was of the September 14th, about 9 days ago. Begs the question, Andrew Canyon. Mm-hmm. Who was it? The questions, I should say. Who was it? Why were they unvaccinated? And do they plan to get vaxxed before the start of the season? And if that player doesn't, will the Kings keep them around, unlike some other players we're going to talk about a little bit later on? But
yeah,
interesting. Interesting little turn of events in Sydney.
It is. Of all the teams to have a COVID outbreak come down, you know, I don't know whether to crack wise on this one or not. Talk about
it. No, don't. People don't care for that. People don't like it at all.
All right. But no, it's
going on.
Don't know who it was that was got sick, but not good for the team. Hopefully they're all bouncing back and sort of getting over it. Yep. We haven't yet heard, have we? There's been no further reports.
No, it's been very quiet, and that's what I had a thought on. But, you know, don't forget, Melbourne United had a COVID Wuhan strain to start last season, so and bounced back to obviously win the title. This is what bothers me most about this. Andrew Bogut, 10% owner of the Kings, he's been very vocal on the subject of COVID, lockdowns, et cetera, COVID measures, blah, 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 vaccine, not so much. Now COVID comes right into his kitchen, and he's quieter than a church mouse.
Mm.
And that's not very rogue. That's not rogue.
It's amazing what happens when you get personally affected by things.
You think so?
Let's change perspective, perhaps.
And during the week, I was actually flattered by the number of people who contacted me saying, oh, you got to say something about Bogut because, you know, some of his comments have been unscaly. I reply to them was, number one, I don't have the permission to, but I don't think I'd follow him on Twitter. Anyway, Instagram, perhaps. I think I do follow him on Instagram. Twitter, I'm going to let Andrew Bogut on there go. I think that particular platform brings out the worst in him. But here's the thing. People are like, oh, they should strip that 10% ownership. But, you know, that 10% ownership, that's a figurehead ownership position. 10% of the Kings, that's not. If it was 50, like, all right, then you're an owner. 10%, that's nothing. And to be honest, to be stripped of ownership in the Sydney Kings, well, that would be a reward rather than a punishment. So, you know, the team doesn't make any money. As I was saying, with only a 10% stake in the Kings, which is Australia's fourth or fifth most popular basketball team in Australia's sixth most popular domestic league, but he's essentially a private citizen. He can say what he wants. I think that 10%, I don't think is enough to say, hey, we own you. I think that counts for naught. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, if I don't know what the contracts of ownership say, like you must have some requirement to toe the line. It would just have to be, I would think. You know, who knows how these things work? I mean, maybe he has it configured his investment through a blind trust or something. I don't know.
Good point. Maybe it's not him directly. Good point. Yeah. Here's another question. Oh, you were going to say something?
I was just going to say, like, we're speaking about mental health, and I think, well, we weren't, but I will. I found my mental health has been improved. I use a Twitter app called Tweetbot. It has a really good feature where you can basically mute any occurrences of the word. So you can not only not follow somebody like Andrew Bogut, but you can actually say, if the words Bogut appear in any tweet, just don't ever show me them. And it's quite nice. People can tweet about, they can tweet about Andrew Bogut as much as they like, but if they say Bogut, I'm not seeing it.
Oh, how interesting. It's kind of like a search and delete type thing.
Yeah, so it just, people out there. Just filters it out. So if there's things you don't want to hear about, it makes Twitter a much nicer environment.
It's Twitter. Like, it's so inconsequential. Like, I think our combined profiles have sort of 1,500 followers. I don't think that's a heck of a lot. But the moment it hit 1,000, which sounds like a nice number, nothing happened. I didn't get any money. I didn't get anything. Nothing. It didn't feel good. It was completely meaningless. So it's
still waiting for that blue check mark next to my name.
Yeah, good point. Where is that blue check mark, Twitter? That would actually make me feel good. Here's a question I have for you, though. Can he be saved? His commentary is okay. He's got a huge following, some 300,000 people on whatever socials. I feel like Luke Skywalker. I still see good in him. I still see that the money and the fame and the following, and I'm like, if I could turn this guy, we could turn it around. You don't think so?
Fool's gold, my friend. Fool's gold.
All right, let's jump on. Paul Smith, letter to the league. This we're now we've spent a bit of time slagging off the Kings. Now we're going to give them some praise. This is what we do. We pump. We dump, but we also pump. I mean, I don't like this team and the way they do business, but I agreed with this letter. If you haven't read it, I think it's on the Kings, you know, sydneykings.com. Go there, read it. I'm paraphrasing, but essentially it was, we don't buy championships. We're not going to go over into the luxury tax and play the league, which is where you spend over the amount. If we do go over that amount, I'm going to disclose it. This is Paul Smith. I mean, Paul Smith will disclose it. I actually really liked it from him. I'm two thumbs. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the league needs to find a sustainable platform. And I think anytime you enter into an arms race of just we're going to spend more than you and we're going to attempt to buy a championship, it might get you that championship, but it's not going to make you viable over the long term. You got to build, you know, and I think this is the approach. So, yeah, I commend them. Spend within your means, you know, like do what you can, do the best with what you've got, and like get people to support your team because they like the players and they like the organization, not because they Agreed. Win. You know, like wins and losses, they come and go. You know, like but people buy into a story of a team, so you got to get that sorted out.
And this, I really enjoyed it because it added just another string to the conversation of this incredibly long off season of 160, 170 days.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is good content, and it created a bit of buzz on the Twitter with a few with the usual people here and there. It was a success for Paul Smith. I thought it was good. I thought it was very good. It was a thinly veiled backhand towards, and we were talking about this. It was certainly a backhand to these three entities. The league, which is essentially Kesselman, United, which is essentially Kesselman, and then the Perth Wildcats, which may or may not be essentially Larry Kesselman. So it was a thinly veiled, as much as it's kind of like, I don't know who it was, but some guy in England at the time, he was like, we have to install baths in all the houses, even in the poor people's houses. And parliamentarians were like, baths in the poor houses, they won't know what to do with it. They'll fill it with coals. He's like, no, they'll know how to use the bath. And it's not a civic good I'm doing. I don't want the poor to bathe for them. I want them to bathe for me so I don't have to smell them. So I think this is one of those situations where his negativity towards the league, Kesselman and Wildcats, has actually generated a greater good. So Paul Smith, if you're listening, highly doubtful. But if you are, good on you. Here's a pretzel. Here's a prize.
Good job.
biggest news of the last week or so, Ty and Corey Webster and Travis Trice, who the photo I saw on NBL News was of a Cairns uniform, but he was going to sign with Illawarra, am I right?
Yep.
No longer. So, all right. First, I'll start off with the big question. Are they better? Are the Breakers better without both Ty and Corey Webster?
Oh, I'm going to say yes. I'm going out there. I'm going to say yes, they're better.
Why?
They were definitely better without Corey. So I think
that was my next question. Sorry to interrupt you there. But my other question was, are they better without Corey but worse without Ty? But let's stay with the, are they better without both of them, you're saying?
So I think they are better, potentially better, because we haven't seen them without them yet, right? So it's a bit of a, you know, guessing game at the moment. But I would say, yeah, I think those two guys were just, they were so ball dominant. It was sort of dueling banjos with the Websters. You always felt that they were dancing to the beat of their own drum. And I don't think that they were ever really fully under control of the coach and the organization. And I think they had they sort of felt they had license because they were the locals. They were the, you know, they put bums on seats.
Well, they may have. I think, yeah, you're probably right in that. I want to go to that follow-up question. Are they better without Corey but worse without Ty Webster? Yes or no?
Potentially, yes. Like, that would be the
He was the better player. Ty Webster was the better.
Yeah, definitely better. But he also made his fair share of mistakes and made it difficult for the team sometimes, I thought. I think he froze out players a bit, tried to do a lot of one-on-one. I think there's potential for them to be better without him.
Let me throw some stats at your ass. Corey Webster, 32 years old, missed 8 games last season, 7 games the season before. Doesn't sound like a lot, but that's almost a third of the season.
Quarter
to a third. Shot 51% in wins. Oh, that's pretty good. Shot 39% in losses. Like shot him into games, shot him out. Was 11th in usage rate league-wide last season. Like with Corey Webster, so a guy who was an NBL first team, second team, if there'd been a third team, wouldn't have been in the third team, probably would have been in a fourth team, is using the ball at the 11th most in the league. And that's adjusted because Taylor Britt was on top when he was like a stats anomaly. So 11th in usage rate. Nah, I'm totally out on Corey Webster. Was last year. I don't think he just loved. There's not a mid-range jump shot falling away that he didn't love it. Ty Webster. I've got a little bit more time for Ty. A lot younger. Attacked the rim so much more.
Which is a
really important thing to do. But listen to this. You're not going to believe it. Usage rate for Ty Webster, 31%. Third in the league. Third in the league. For an offensive rating that was third last.
Wow.
To put that in perspective for people who are not so stats-based, that means he used the ball the third most in the league and generated the third worst offensive outcome with it. Now, here are the things that kind of throw the scale and the important things to remember. They had a lot of injuries early, Corey Webster being one of them. I think old Patterson was not up to speed. Iverson was not up to conditioning, those two. So he had to fill a huge role, and there was injuries. They were a team in a mess, so he did have to burden a lot. But I wouldn't say there was a tectonic shift in his play from the first quarter when they were badly injured to the second quarter, you know, to the second half, pardon me, when they started to play better. I just didn't. I thought he was the same player the whole year through. And I liked him better when he was kind of either caged or not on the floor so much. That was my impression. I think that's same as you.
Yeah.
And I think with the guy they've signed, this Peyton Siver guy, here's why I like him. 30 years old, polished pro, hasn't played in the most spectacular leagues, which suggests to me that he's been given bigger money to play in. I think he's come from Berlin or something like that. But here's the other thing. Deeply religious. That Christian work ethic. He's going to be good. Yeah, deeply. And I think he's going to drive winning basketball. I don't know if he's going to have the stats to get you, you know, MVP conversation or whatever, but as far as driving winning basketball, I think he's going to be an exceptional player.
Right.
Going back to Ty and Corey Webster. Let's go with Ty Webster, who's officially been released from his contract, citing his unwillingness to get vaccinated. What was your reaction, Andrew Kenyon? Jesus.
Oh boy, I'm just flabbergasted that these people are willing to trust their own thoughts and views and beliefs ahead of scientific evidence and proof.
And you know, the 6 billion jabs of it that have been gone out, whichever vaccine you want to choose, 6 billion in total have been given out with negative outcomes.
I can tell you that more people get sick and they get worse sick without a vaccination than those who are vaccinated.
Categorically.
There is strong evidence to support that claim. So I think you're reading too many weird social media posts. Get off Facebook. And I don't know, since when did science become a belief? Well, this is a weird thing. So I'll launch into a tirade in a minute, but it just frustrates me. I'll
quickly jump in. Frustrate is a good word. Here's what I want to say. What bugged me as well was the wording. All right, now the NBL doesn't have a mandate. You don't have to be vaccinated to play, but the provisos are there that you have to. You know, it's kind of like, well, you don't have to, but if you don't, you'll be engulfed in flames. It's like, well, that's basically saying you have to.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to travel, and this league travels to what? Nine other cities around the country. Like, duh, you have to get vaccinated. So, and what bugs me is the wording. And everyone's like, I respect the decision, and I don't like the use of the word respect. You don't have to respect this. This is 2021. No. And bear with me.
I agree.
Well, thank you. Oh, good. Well, then, by all means. But respect is the word I don't use. You can tolerate it. We tolerate his decision. But respect, like, and here's what I'd say is why I don't respect what he's chosen. And people might be upset by that, but here's why. COVID is a public health issue, right? Your public health. Your rights impinge and impact upon others. Yes. For example, if either one of us wanted to start driving on the right-hand side of the road because we felt very strongly that driving on the left was a detriment to our health or demonic, we would not respect that decision. When everyone else is on the left to then drive, when everyone's driving on the left for them to just cross over and drive into oncoming traffic.
Yeah.
It's a decision you just can't be on. And it's the same principle. Yeah. You can tolerate, you wouldn't even tolerate that, much less respect it. Same as if you were to run down the street of Auckland screaming fire. You have a right to free speech. That's your right. We respect that right. But screaming fire at the top of your lungs, although it's just a word, can cause damage to other people. You're now impinging upon other people. So we don't respect that. That's not right. I resented the word respect used in the sort of put out by the league, even some of the other players and things like that. I thought it was very soft-handed. Didn't like it.
Brilliant. Brilliantly said. Yes, that is exactly right. I just want to echo all that. This is part of being in a society in that you can't be entirely selfish all the time, because if everybody is entirely selfish, that's the breakdown of civilization as we know it. Sometimes you
when I was 15 years old, there was nothing I wanted more than to buy alcohol and cigarettes And I wasn't allowed. We do not let people do a lot of things for their own good. Why isn't the reverse principle of making someone do something? Anyway, that's I wanted to have a real bone to pick with the word respect. But here's what I'm also hearing. I'm hearing that more than COVID and vaccines, both of them, Ty Webster in particular, wanted out of their contract. I don't think that's what I've heard the major driving force is. I've heard it's, you know, COVID was and the vaccine was very convenient. Yeah. We kind of want to go back to Europe where they're a little bit more relaxed about the vaccine. We can kind of play both sides here. We're not pro-vaccine, but we're using this. Yeah. That is some of the rumors I've heard. I've heard it's sort of a 75 get out of contract, 25 split. That's what I've heard. So
I think the Broncos as an organization will be better off without them. I think, clean slate, start over, Webster free.
What's a better backcourt? William McDowell White and Siva or Corey and Ty? I just think on paper.
I think everything I've said, you've got to go with McDowell, White, and Seema.
Well, they started to play well towards the end of the year, and I don't remember Corey playing a heck of a lot, and I remember McDowell, White sort of cannibalizing Webster's minutes and influence. Yeah. Maybe not his minutes, but certainly his influence.
Yep.
So, I'm seeing it on paper. I'm seeing it on court.
Yeah.
But Ty Webster was one I was like, gee, he'd be a good flamethrower off the bench. Oh, we're struggling for points here. Pop him in. Just let him. Yeah. Give him a pick. Get out of the way. He's shooting it every time. Deal with it. That's it. I was jumping across, though. Travis Trice. I hope I pronounced that right.
Yep.
Yeah. Unvaccinated American. Didn't want to come over. Do you remember him? Did he play with Cairns, right?
Yeah, I do remember. He was good. He was really good. He really put Cairns on the map.
That's a loss for Illawarra then, because they were going to have both of those guys in the backcourt.
Yeah, and Trice as well.
Harvey.
Yeah, and Trice, he played for, he represented the US for a period, in one of their tournament play, not the Olympics.
He had a reputation. I didn't know him, I vaguely remember him, yeah.
Yeah, he's speedy, good control, reasonable shooter. Like, he would have been really, really good.
Even with Harvey, you think, paired with the poster?
Sorry, say again?
Even paired up with Tyler Harvey, similar player.
Yeah, I think they would have collaborated well.
Who's the other Illawarra import? They've got Harvey. They had Trice. They're going to replace him with a similar player. And Simons is gone. Simon is gone.
Yeah.
Do they have another one? Have they?
They got Reith.
He's obviously Boomer. He's local.
Yeah. Gosh, can't remember now.
No, me neither. I don't think they have. I think they've both got, now they've now got two import slots up their sleeve.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah, pretty sure. Are you going on NBL?
I'm looking now. This is the live research.
Bear with us, everyone, while we check. This is the last topic we're leaving after this.
Oh, here we go. Antonius Cleveland. That's a great name.
Yeah, we'll have a look into him. Well, what's his stats? How tall is he? What position he play?
He's 27.
Good age.
Played in the NBA G League, 15-5 in the G League in 28 minutes. He's a forward.
Hard to know. All right. Could be good. I'll have to have a look at him. We'll get back to you. But that's, he's a loss, Trice, as is Ty Webster to a degree. Corey, well, that's all we have time for. And that's an end of the show. Follow us on Twitter. Yeah, another one there much. Start a podcast. Do it for a while. Do let me know.
Yeah.
And I'll become a patron. Promise. We will become a patron.
Yeah, yeah. Like, in for a penny, in for a pound. If you want to make some real cash, you know what to do.
Thanks, everyone. See you next time, which could be in a week. Could be
And sorry about my toilet microphone if it's really bad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, also I want to say there is going, speaking of new podcasts and that, there's a new podcast show, YouTube channel coming out, Throwback Hoops, starting October 5th. That's all I can tell you because that's all I know. But just poke around those names, Throwback Hoops, October 5th. Thank you very much.